I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, 14, and 15. And let's read it together. It will be on the screen. This is a prayer that Jesus taught believers to pray. And it's a prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." You know that prayer, right? Let's read it. "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Okay? So Jesus taught us to pray for forgiveness of our debts, but he also says, as we forgive those who've sinned against us or who owe us a debt. Verse 13 says this, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." But listen to this. This is crazy. Next verse 15. "But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." This scripture, it's hard to comprehend for a longtime believer. Or if you grew up a Christian, you've heard that God loves you and nothing can separate you from His love. If you're a Christian, you heard that God will forgive you anything, even the unpardonable sin. But here, we see something different. We see that God is saying, if you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. And if God does not forgive us, then guess what? Who can we find forgiveness in? Who can forgive us? So there's one sin that could keep you out of heaven, is unforgiveness. Jesus talks so much about it. On a lighter note, I want to tell you a story about Jane. Jane went to a pet store and decided to buy a big parrot that talked. When she was in the store, he was so nice. He was like, you know, like cats do, you know, and the nicest parrot ever. But when she brought him home, he started calling her bad names, saying, "You're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, Jane. Jane, 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 you're ugly, you're ugly." And so he just continued to abuse her. She really started feeling low self-esteem. And when she would try to pick him up, instead of sitting on her shoulder, he would try to peck her to death. He was trying to show who's the boss. So one day, Jane had enough and said, "That's it, you're done." And so she opens the freezer and puts the parrot in. While parrot is pecking her on her arm and yelling obscenities, saying, "You're stupid, you're dumb." After 10 seconds, in a freezer, parrot stops talking and it's silence. And Jane was thinking, "Oh no, I killed him. I killed him." So she runs in and opens the door, and parrot is sitting there with the puppy eyes on the side, of course, and and saying, "Jane, I'm so sorry. I have hurt you. I will never do it again. I will never call you a bad name. I will be respectful. I will obey whatever you say. Please forgive me, would you?" And Jane is surprised with this sudden change of heart. And then parent says, "Can I ask you one question, Jane?" She said, "Sure." Parent says, "Jane, what did the chickens do?" Where do you keep your chicken? In the freezer. Took you a while. Wow. You guys are ready for this message. Most of us don't like financial debt. Would you agree? Same thing with emotional debt. Emotional debt brings stress into our life. Emotional debt brings a lot of anxiety, a lot of sadness, depression in our life. Emotional debt even makes our body sick. Do you know that because of a lot of our emotions, body will suffer as well. Your heart will hurt sometimes when you feel emotional pain. And God doesn't want you to suffer. God wants you to enjoy life and live life to the fullest. There's something about God that you need to know. I don't know if you know about God, that God is a God full of joy. How do you see God?
Do you see God as this madman, old, ancient of days, sitting in heaven and going... Like in the movies, you know, when they go to deep space, aliens. Do you think God is an alien? I don't know. You maybe think he's an old man, ancient of days, sitting on a throne and ready to strike somebody. Three strikes. I'm just giving you three. God gives more, but, you know, anyway, he wants to strike us. No. Bible says, in your presence, there is what? Fullness of joy. So when you come into the presence of God, it's not that he's going to knock you with guilt. It's not that he's going to hurt you and say, I can't believe you did that. You're going to experience joy in the presence of God. That's the guy, kind of God we serve. He's the only God. King of kings. Lord of lords. There's no other God. There's gods with little g. They're demons. And they bring sadness into your life. They bring depression into your life. Have you ever watched a horror movie and they have these little low notes? I used to, I had a keyboard when my son was born, and I'd play piano notes, and he would love happy notes. Kids, there's an interesting thing about kids. When I played happy notes, and when I would take those weird notes, those strains, those low notes, he would start crying. He would freak out. I don't know, something about that just freaks us out. Anyway, and so God is a God of happiness. God is a God of joy. That's what he wants for your life. You can try living your life on your own, saying, I can do it without God. But trust me, Satan will mess it up. Sin is fun in the beginning, but in the end, you'll be crying. You'll be crying. You'll be asking anybody, somebody, please save me. Somebody, anybody, rescue me. And of course, Jesus will. But why would you want to go through all that pain that you don't have to go through? Now, what is emotional debt? You want to know? Emotional debt is a feeling of owing or being owed. Emotional debt is a feeling of owing, like you owe somebody, or being owed. You would think one of those wouldn't fit there, but they do. It's a feeling that keeps us trapped in a prison of the past and does not allow us to enjoy the present. It's a prison that if we don't deal with it, will make our life miserable. And there's already so much pain in the world. Why would you want to bring more on yourself? We all have some emotional debt. It's harmful things that we inflict on others or evil things that were done to us. Listen to this. Sins that we commit against others are often easier to excuse than sins that are committed against us. Would you agree? When we commit sins against others, what do? Some of us ignore it. Say, well, I didn't do anything. Some of us say, well, it's not my fault. That's how I was raised. You know, I just mean by nature. I am Irish, you know. I am Italian. I'm Ukrainian. You know, that's how we do. Or if we sin against somebody, we can ask God to forgive us. We dealt with that last week. Okay, spiritual debt. We can say a quick sorry. This week, me and my wife were eating at Wendy's, and I said something to her, and it hurt her, and she got offended. And the thing about it that she told me yesterday that, hey, you really offended me on Tuesday. And I'm like, for what? I'm like... I didn't even think I did. I'm just like, you know, when we used to fight with Tanya when we were young, we had a hard time letting go. So we would just like till the end, till we solve it. Now we fight and then we laugh about it the next few moments. But I guess we laughed about it. She wasn't happy. And she's like, and so she says, so the sins that we commit against others are easy to live with and deal with, right? We ask God to forgive us. We say quick sorry. We excuse it or we ignore it. However, the sins that were committed against us, we call it evil, that was committed against us. And some of the things that were committed against us was really evil. It's much harder to live with. Amen? It's hard to forgive and to forget. So today my subject is forgiveness. Because many Christians live a life expecting God to do something in their life. Expect God to answer their prayers. Expect God to bless them. And if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it stops the blessing of God in your life. Jesus said, if you forgive people their sins, then your Heavenly Father will forgive you your sins. If you don't forgive, I'm going to send you to tormentors. Huh? So just pay attention. I told you last week about a story about a friend who borrowed money from me. You remember? That was a lot of money. And he didn't pay me back, and I was really upset, really offended at him. And months passed by, and he didn't even make one payment. It was a lot of money. I mean, right now I can't believe I borrowed somebody, lent somebody so much money. I would not do it again. Okay, so like I said, don't come to me for money. I'll give you what I can, but I will never lend you money. And so I didn't get any payment, and a year passed by, and one time I was in town, this big city that he lived in, and he came home from work at night, and the friend of mine who owed me money, he ignored my phone calls. He didn't want nothing to do with me. You know when you owe somebody money, when the collectors call, you don't want to talk to them. Oh, these darn marketers, don't call me again. I'm not interested. Really, it's a banker calling. Credit card is overdue. Bill is overdue. And so I was out of town, and I was visiting my future-to-be wife, and she lived in that town. If you know what town that is. But one day, the old friend of mine comes home, and he tries to open the door handle, and the door to his apartment is open. And so, naturally, he knew I was in town. So naturally, somehow, and when you have a debt, you know who's coming after you. You assume. If your car is 3 months overdue, and it's not in the parking lot where you left it, you know who, you kind of can assume who got it. The bank got it, or repo man got it. You know, if you come home to your apartment, and the key doesn't fit anymore, and the couches, and your underwear, and everything you have, the secret stuff, is in the front, you know, lawn, then you know, you can assume what happened. Well, he came home, he owed me money, so he assumed that I broke into his place, and although I didn't take anything, well, because my friend kind of had issues, and he didn't have any money, especially the money that I needed, but my friend was a talker. You know, when you have a friend as a talker, they talk. So he thought I stole, you know, tried to get my money from him, broke in. And he started talking to all my friends about it. He started talking to everybody. Here I'm getting phone calls. Did you broke in into his apartment? Somebody broke in. No, I don't even know where he lives. I still don't know where he lives. I wanted nothing to do with him at that point. But when he said that and started accusing me and started telling everybody about me, man, that hurt my pride. That really hurt my pride. And I became so bitter with unforgiveness. I became so resentful. I don't know if you've ever felt unforgiveness. I don't know if anybody ever done something to you so bad. And you loved them. And I helped him find a job. And I really took him to the job. I drove him to the job. I mean, he didn't have a vehicle really. And I mean, just a lot of things were not good in his life. And I so poured my life into him. You know, giving. And here this person owing me so much and accusing me of such a thing that I didn't do. My bitterness was through the roof. That's all I could think about. In my mind, every day, I was arguing. I would work and I would sweat almost. I sweat naturally, but that's just me. But I would sweat thinking, man, I would punch you in the mouth. Man, I could punch you in the throat, man. Really, I'll garnish your wages if I could. I mean, I would do anything. You know how when you have unforgiveness in your heart or in your mind, what happens? You start thinking through it. And those thoughts bring negativity in your life. And you snap at your co-workers and you snap at people. You know, when something is not right in your life, unforgiveness locks you into this isolation. This is what Joyce Meyer says. Unforgiveness makes you stuck in one bad moment in time. And doesn't allow you to move forward. Doesn't allow you to live in the present and look to the future. All you're thinking about how they wronged you and how they need to apologize, how they need to pay you back. The thing about unforgiveness is that a lot of people who we feel offended, who offended us, don't even know they did it. People don't think about your problems. And probably my buddy was ignoring his problems. And so he was enjoying his life. And the thing about that, you know, when God wants to bring change into your life, and if you don't like somebody, God will bring that person in your life even more. So some of you wondering, why do I always have to work with that person? Why do they always bring me somehow together with that person? So I would go to Applebee's every time, and he has to be in that Applebee's. It's like, Lord, really? Minneapolis has so many Applebee's. Couldn't you just like really have him go a mile away? Why do we have to go to the same Applebee's? And I would see him, and every time I would see him, I would lock up with bitterness. And then they would scoot their chair and table next to us and say, can we sit together? We know each other. We're friends, right? And he's an easygoing guy. And I am with this weight. I have this big brick. Oh, and he's just sitting there, doesn't care about it. This is heavy. This is not plastic. Try it. Yeah, it's big. That's a lot of weight. Cool. And so anywhere I go, he's there. And I'm like, God, why do you do this? He already hurt me enough. Why are you bringing us again? Why are we always meeting? God was trying to tell me something. That I got unforgiveness, and it's not hurting him. It is hurting me and my relationship with my father. I remember later, Tanya and I got married, and I still struggle with unforgiveness. I remember driving home, and God is telling me, you got to let it go. And I'm like, I can't. I don't know if you've ever been in such a place where somebody really hurt you, that you just say, I can't forgive you. I just can't. I don't know what it is. It's like jealousy. Have you ever been jealous? It makes you feel bad inside, but you're like, I can't stop. You know, sin is sometimes has such a hold on us. And some of you are struggling with different sins. But sin has, and it brings us down. And this unforgiveness was destroying me. And at that time, God was beginning to use me. And I'm going to get off unforgiveness a little bit, make it lighter a little bit here. God was beginning to use me. I never wanted to be a preacher. Really never did. Never grew up saying, I want to be a preacher. And I just got like sucked into it. Really. I love it now. Trust me. I love it now. But then I wanted to be in business. I was good at it. I was at 8 years old. I was already breeding rabbits and breeding beavers and selling them. Yeah, I was. I was already at like 9, 10 years old. I could skin a rabbit, you know. I could kill a pig easy. I could cut the head of a chicken. I mean, I could do it all. I mean, I knew how to do farm work. Yeah. Yeah, I could still do it. I mean, I could skin a rabbit without, like, you know, having holes in this, you know, because that's important. You can't have holes in the leather thing, you know, in a fur. You have to do it. You got to have a certain bat you hit him with. He's like, what are you looking at me for? And so, I always wanted to be in business. I was good at it since I could remember. It's not me, it was God-given gift. You know, I can't claim glory because I'm beautiful. No, I'm just kidding. You can't claim glory because you're beautiful, girls. So don't think too much of it. It's the heart that counts. And, I was in this youth group and God, started kind of, pulling me out. This youth pastor, and Maria knows him. That I had was a musician, and they would get invited a lot to different churches, and churches want musicians on Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, and so he would go out of town a lot, and what he began to do, he said to me, could you organize a trip to like Chicago? You know, we had like 75 youth, and we needed to go to a conference in Chicago, youth conference, and so he's like, can you organize it? And I was like, I've never done it, but. Okay. And so I would begin to organize, you know, conferences, get the buses ready, get people's payments, you know, be the kind of the person who's very organized and do that. And before you know it, What started happening is he would leave out of town and he would call me at the last moment and say, "Hey, Alex, could you lead the youth service? Because I have to go. I got an invitation to sing." And that would be his kind of a job, kind of singing. Because when they would sing, people would give him donations. And that's how he lived. He was a musician. Okay? And that started happening more and more. And before I knew, I was preaching. I was like, "Lord, I've never wanted this, but I was." And before I knew it, I was good at it. And before I knew it, people's lives were being touched. And I was like, "Wow, Lord." See, God didn't ask me to be a pastor. He asked me through a youth pastor to organize a trip, to use my gift. I'm an organizational person. I love organization. I can't be in my office when papers are out of order. I can't even pray in my office if I see something out of order. I'm a control freak, I know, but it has good parts of it too. I know, you're too easygoing. And and so that's how I got into ministry. It's not that I felt God call me. It's just I was doing what needed to be done. And some of you are maybe waiting for God to speak another word through Tom Stammen to you. "I want you to do this." No, God is asking you to do something small. And Tony today did a great job. He put those volunteer cards. Look, he cares about volunteering because it changed his life, his family's life. Amen. And maybe God is asking you, you need to volunteer for 15 minutes of your time. You'll get to know people. "I don't like going to church because I don't know anybody." Well, that's a perfect opportunity. If you volunteer for 15 minutes, you'll know people. That's what happened to me. And before you know it, you could be preaching. Before you know it, you could be, you know what, my wife does graphic design, but guess where she learned it? Volunteering in church. We just said, "Here's a computer. We need a design for Easter. Do it." And before you know, she's doing it. Eli, where's Eli? Eli, if you don't know this, Eli is on Refuge Radio every day, 2-3 times a day. He's a recording artist, but guess where he started? In church. That's where he started at. A lot of you, like George over there, he didn't know he could do sound until he came to church. He started doing it, and now he's great at it. Didn't the sound sound awesome? Amen. God has certain things that you don't even know about yourself. He wants to pull out of you, but he wants you to start small. Some of you are saying, "Well, I'm too good for that." Nobody is too good for anything. But anyway, back to forgiveness. What unforgiveness does to a person? I want to tell you what unforgiveness does to a person. Number one, it creates resistance to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you have unforgiveness, Bible says Satan will hinder your prayers. That's why he says husband and wife, you know, when you live together in peace. Don't hold unforgiveness. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Forgive each other. Otherwise, Satan will come in, and when strife is between husband and wife, he will destroy your marriage. He will destroy your family. So unforgiveness creates resistance to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number two, unforgiveness can block God from answering your prayer. Let's go Mark 11, 24 and 25. It says this, read it with me. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, some of us love this scripture. I quote it a lot, but let's go to the next one. "And whenever you stand praying, same time, if you have anything against anyone, say it, forgive him or her, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." Some of you live with unforgiveness and you're wondering why there's so much depression in my life. Why there's so much negativity in my life. Why is there so much pain and sorrow in my life? You can be a good Christian. You can be a Christian for years and still battle unforgiveness. Preacher, you're all saying good things.
But you don't know what happened to me. You don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what my father did to me, what my uncle did to me. You don't know what my brother did to me. You don't know the pain I've been through. You don't know the kind of hell that I've experienced. Somebody stole my innocence. I was abused since I was 5 or since I was 3 or since I could remember. And you asking me to forgive. I deserve to be mad. I deserve to be angry. Don't you dare tell me to forgive. If you have those feelings, those are correct feelings. I've had those feelings. And if they don't ask me to forgive, I'm never going to forgive them. Well, the problem with that is that God says if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Do you think God knows something about forgiveness? God is the expert on forgiveness. What did Jesus say on the cross to the people who were killing him? Father, forgive them because they do not know what they do. So you think you're an expert on forgiveness? And I don't deny that things that were done to you were horrible. They were evil. People that done things to you should be in jail. I know some pain that people cause. And I know my money story and my bitterness story doesn't compare to what some of you feel. Let me give you a little statistics that I got from one of the centers on sexual abuse. 1 out of 4 women is sexually assaulted at one point of her life. 80%, 78% of sexual assault victims were assaulted by someone they knew. 1 out of 4. I don't know what statistic it is here today, but it's pretty close. 1 out of 6 men is sexually assaulted at some point in his life. And you're saying to me, forgive? You don't know what my uncle did, my cousin did. You don't know what my dad did. You don't know what my stepdad did to me. I can't forgive. That's the only thing I have is hating them. God doesn't want you to carry debt. God wants you to live a debt-free life. So we have to deal with this stuff. Perhaps maybe your father, you're dealing with issues of abandonment. Your father was never there in your life, or your mother abandoned you. Maybe somebody in your family was a drug addict or an alcoholic, and you carry that deep inside. Maybe you were physically or emotionally abused. Maybe you were beaten. Maybe you were told, I wish you were dead. Maybe that's what you were told by one of your parents. Maybe your parents were not that bad. Maybe they never told you they loved you. Maybe they always pointed out your faults but never encouraged you. And you hold that bitterness. Maybe you see your dad beating your mom when you were young and you got a whole bunch of anger. Maybe you were in marriage and somebody cheated on you and abused you. And you wanted to do good. You wanted to do your best. It wasn't your fault, but somebody came in and hurt your life. And you're saying, preacher, you want me to forgive? You don't know what I've been through. Maybe somebody called you stupid, good for nothing. You'll never achieve anything. I wish you were never born. Maybe that's what you were told. And you carrying it inside. And you got pain and you got anxiety attacks and you don't know where it's coming from. Maybe you were bullied at school. Maybe somebody you loved slandered you. Maybe somebody at work got promotion when it should have been yours. And you're saying, these people are evil. I can't forgive them. And the thing that God understands is that He knows that they're evil. Bible says, do not pay evil for evil. So Bible doesn't excuse it and say, they're a good person, but they've done wrong. No, we are sinners. And we sin.
And some of those sins can go from this big to this big. But they're all sins. And they hurt people. Maybe you have unforgiveness towards God. And I know what I'm talking about. I've had unforgiveness towards God. I said, God, you promised me. You said something and you didn't do it. I believed you're going to do something and you didn't do it. I've had moments where I felt, God, I hate you. If I wasn't a Christian, I would probably say that to his face. I knew I shouldn't have, but I felt that. I felt, God, I hate you. Why do you think people leave church? Why do you think people who are on fire for God, in love with God, leave? They think, God, you promised me something and you didn't achieve it. And now I hate you. I don't want to serve a God who doesn't do my timing, who doesn't do what I want him to do. I looked at God. I said, I can't say a bad word to you, but I can show you a bird. I'm not going to use my finger, but I'm going to go like this. I've had those moments, and I'm just being honest with you because some of you have unforgiveness towards God. Some of you saying, maybe feeling, God, I had a good grandma. She was the only one in my life who loved me, and you gave her cancer, and you took her out. First of all, God didn't give her cancer. Satan did. And Satan took her out. God didn't take her out. But God works everything for good for some reason. Maybe you've had somebody in your family, maybe brother, sister, cousin, maybe somebody you really love, and God took him. And deep inside, you feel this unforgiveness. And you know what it is? It's a big debt that you are carrying. I want, LaVar, would you come here, please? When you don't forgive somebody, put this on your side. When you don't forgive somebody, this is what you do. You take that offense and you start carrying it with you. And when you don't forgive, that offense starts growing. And when you used to be offended at one person, you begin to be offended at more people. And when you don't forgive, hold this underneath because it might break. Hold this here.
I got it.
Because it's breaking over here. It's too heavy. Hold it there.
Alex.
Just be obedient, okay? All right, I want you to walk around just once. Walk around once. How comfortable is it, LaVar? It's going to give you a rash before you know it. Be itching. When you don't forgive, you're carrying this. It's a weight that you carry. It's a debt that you carry. And what it is, because that debt is going to get really heavy, guess what he's going to do? He's going to start complaining. He's going to start telling everybody. He's going to be irritated. Doesn't it? Let somebody else try it. Eli, try that bag. Just feel it underneath. Just feel it underneath. I bet you can't lift it with one hand like this. Don't challenge Eli. He'll try to do it. Andy, you try it. Try how heavy that is. Let Andy try it. Just I want to show you how heavy it is. Take it from LaVar. Give it to Jesus. Isn't it heavy? Okay, put it down. When you have unforgiveness, it's like taking those blocks, taking those rocks and carrying them for not just a day, not just for 3 days, but for months, sometimes for years. And you're thinking you're hurting that other person. You're thinking you're hurting that ex-boyfriend who used you. You're thinking you're hurting that ex-husband or wife that cheated or whatever they did on you. But really, you're hurting yourself. Somebody said unforgiveness is like drinking poison and thinking and hoping somebody else would die. And God doesn't want you to be miserable.
You know the commandments of God are for you to be happy? You know the laws of God are not for him, are for your happiness? See, a lot of us, God just wants to give me rules and stuff. He wants you to be happy. The reason I tell my kids, don't go on a highway, why? Because I don't want them to be hit by a truck, like my dog Eddie did, and died. My dog Eddie died, and then... The reason God gives you rules, he says, do not steal, because he doesn't want the person who works so hard for what they have be sad about what was stolen from them. So God is not just about your happiness. God is about happiness of your neighbor. That's why he gives us these rules. So everybody could be happy. The reason we have laws in our nation is so everybody could pursue happiness, not just the few. Amen. We can have unforgiveness towards people, and we can have unforgiveness towards God. How do you know you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart? Number one, that's all you talk about, how bad they hurt you. And the hurt is real. But have you ever met a person? Pastor, how you doing? Good. You know what they did to me. You know how bad they hurt me. And that's all they talk about. And you're like, and I would say, you have to forgive. Oh yeah, I've forgiven already. But that's all they continue to talk about. If you continue to talk about something you have not forgiven. Well, Pastor, you're talking about your story and that happened 10 years ago, 12 years ago. The reason I even remember this story is so I can use it as an illustration. Really, I forgot about many details of this story. I actually don't feel pain telling you about this story. Because what? I have forgiven. And I'll tell you how in a few moments. But that's all they want to talk about. The first time you meet him, they want to say how somebody hurt him and brought him so much pain. And like I said, that hurt is legitimate hurt. But God doesn't want you to live and carry the burden. It's a heavy burden. It's a heavy burden. I don't want to. I'll hurt myself. It's a heavy burden. God wants you to live a debt-free life. Next week, we will talk about financial debt. But what's the purpose? Point if you have finances under control but you're bitter inside, you can't have any happiness, you can't enjoy life. So that's why we go spiritual debt last week, emotional debt this week, financial debt next week. Man, you're gonna have an awesome life, and a lot of you are super young, so you're gonna enjoy many years of debt-free life. You know what my agenda is? Debt-free life. I don't want you to live in debt. I want you to live a debt of love. I want you to give. I want you to be a giver. I want you to, actually not I, but God wants you to help others, to serve others, to give some of your money to others. Not just always say, I don't have enough. If I did, I would. You know, it's the rich people that should give. No, everybody should give. Everybody should give. Amen. Many people grew up, How do you know you have unforgiveness? Every time you see a person or hear their name, you lose your peace and joy. It triggers something. You go negative right away. Have you ever had a moment somebody said something and you just went negative and you had such a good day and now you can't shake it off? That's unforgiveness. There could be an unforgiveness. Another sign of unforgiveness, you get offended very easy. Somebody says something and you just like, oh, they offended me. Oh, I can't believe they said that. Just let it go, honey. No, I can't let it go. That's just too much. All they said is, got nice shoes. And that's not what they meant. Yes. But when we carry unforgiveness, we feel like everybody's trying to hurt us. Amen. How do you know you harbor an unforgiveness in your heart? Is you find yourself talking to that person in your mind and how you would revenge them. You know that Old Testament is kind of revenge testament and New Testament is forgiveness testament. In Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, life for life. Actually, in Asian culture, they have a 100-year revenge plan. I don't know if you watch Asian movies, Kung Fu movies. I love Kung Fu movies. They have no nudity in them, so... And the words are no cussing in them either.
Tanya and I went to a movie recently. We had to walk out. We just couldn't. There was just too much cursing. And I hope you don't go into that movie. I'll tell you which one it is. It was Jump 21. If you see that, that's a horrible movie. What is the movie called? We Walked Out. Because, I mean, it looked good, but, oh, man. Horrible movie. Horrible movie. You need to... I mean, if I cuss so much in church today, if I just said one of those words, and they said it every minute, every minute there was a F word, okay? And we had to walk out. We just couldn't, and you could. Just let me tell you, God gives you permission, even if you paid, to walk out of the movie. Trust me, you'll feel better. What am I talking about? In Chinese movies, in kung fu movies, they have, what's the plot? You killed my daddy, and now I'm living with this revenge. And I actually went online and studied Chinese culture about revenge and Japanese culture. That's all they are. If you hurt me, it will take 100 years, even if it takes 100 years for me to revenge my father's death or my grandfather's death, I will revenge it. And a lot of those movies are about revenge. Okay? And they asked the guy, an Asian guy, what happens after 100 years? He said, well, after 100 years, you have to forgive. But that's like three generations that are impacted with unforgiveness. How do you know you harbor unforgiveness? They get offended very easily. They talk in their mind and plan revenge. If it's your family and you have unforgiveness, you dread seeing your mom or your dad, or you dread going to their house. True? If you have unforgiveness, you just don't want to go there. And every time you go to your relative's house that you have unforgiveness towards, you feel negative. You feel like you're locking up and you want to get out. This week, actually last week, right before Easter, Tanya and I were at Famous Dave's. And there was this man in my life that I see quite often. And every time I talk to him, he tries to put me down. And I just got tired of it. And so what I did was I came up with a few phrases. How am I going to combat him? Yeah, I was ready for him. And here this guy comes to me and starts telling me how, you know, he's doing this and doing that. And how, what are you doing? He's still, you know, doing that and laughing at me. And this guy goes to school, and he has been going to school for a long time, and and still doesn't work. So guess what I do? I said, "When are you gonna?" And all I said to him, and I planned this. And when he started, I asked him, "What do you do?" And he's like, "Oh, I'm in school. I'm getting another degree. Blah blah blah, and this and that." And I was like, "Man, when are you gonna get a real job, dude?" And I planned this, and he heard me, and he went, "Okay, goodbye." And he just walked away. And Holy Spirit spoke to me right there and said, you know why you did that? Because you haven't forgiven him for putting you down. And so now you're trying to pay evil for evil. And Bible says, do not pay evil for evil. How do you know you got unforgiveness? Because you're conspiring in your mind. What are you going to say to that person? You know? And all it took is like, man, where are you going to get a real job? You know? Stop going to school. Get a job, you know. and I had to repent. I had to repent and said, Lord, I forgive that person. But it has to take time, okay? Have any of you ever played Angry Birds? I got 3 minutes. How many of you like that game? What is the plot of the Angry Birds story? The pigs stole the eggs from the birds. And the birds are angry and coming after the pigs. And pigs are building all these buildings to try to stop them, all these structures. And these angry birds, you didn't know that, huh? These angry birds are so angry and so unforgiving that what do? They shoot themselves into these structures. But what happens when they hit the structures? They die. So who's getting hurt? The pigs are still building structures, and the birds are still, angry birds are still dying. See, unforgiveness is the same way. We think we're going to hurt somebody, but in the process, we heard ourselves. Yeah, you learned something. Now you can play it with this knowledge in your mind. So, God wants you to live a debt-free life. The only way to be free emotionally is to forgive. The only way is to release this debt that you're carrying, that you're pulling behind, is to forgive. Why should you forgive? Because number one, you have been forgiven by God. You've sinned against other people many times and they've forgiven you. So wouldn't it be hypocritical if we say, I can't forgive you. God forgave me, but I can't forgive you. I'm missing some good parts, so I gotta get through this. You getting the picture? Why should you forgive? Because past isn't over as long as debt goes unpaid. Forgiveness is not forfeiting justice. It's releasing the justice of God. It's not letting somebody off the hook. It's passing the hook to another to take care of it. God says this, brothers and sisters, don't plant revenge. Let God's revenge. Can we put the scripture, Romans 12, 17 and 19. Repay no one even evil for evil. Next verse. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. See, as long as you hold unforgiveness, God cannot move on your behalf. But as soon as you release, God can come in. And God says, vengeance is mine. I will take care of it. But don't you walk around with it. Don't you live with it. Don't you ruin your joy because of it. Forgiveness is not weakness. Forgiveness is ultimate strength. When you choose to forgive somebody, you recognize that evil has been done to you. You're not saying, oh, no, it's not a big deal. I think I overreacted. I think I just felt bad or whatever. No, when you choose to forgive somebody, you're saying that wrong has been done, but I choose to forgive. It's strength. Forgiveness, and this is beautiful. Somebody said forgiveness is setting a prisoner free and finding out that all along, the prisoner was you. Forgiveness is setting a prisoner free and finding out that that prisoner was you. Because as long as you allow unforgiveness in your heart, the more you will relive the pain of that moment. Joyce Meyer said, I have a quote from her. Hold on a second. Unforgiveness makes you stuck in one bad moment in time. That's what unforgiveness does. And God doesn't want you to get stuck in your past. Some of you could not move on because you got unforgiveness. And God wants you to be set free. So how do you do it? Well, I'm driving home, about 22 years old, driving home after a great service. I preached my best message to date. Preached my best message to date, and I'm driving home so excited. People were touched. People were crying. People were being saved. I mean, Holy Spirit moved. And I'm driving home. Tanya wasn't there. I'm driving home. It's raining. It's a night service. I think it was Saturday or Sunday night service. I'm driving home. That's the service that they let me preach. Saturday or Sunday night. And I'm driving home. I'm excited. God, thank you for using me. And I hear His voice from Corinthians. And I hear His voice. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but I have not didn't love, I'm nothing. If I give my body to be burned for somebody else, but I have no love, it's useless. Burning my body is useless for somebody else? It's useless. And God says, everything you just done, I did it, and you have no part in it. Why? He says, because you live in unforgiveness. It shook me up. It rained on my parade. I had a parade in a car. You know, when you had a successful moment in your life, you're like, thank you, Jesus. And He says, that's nothing. Because you're living in unforgiveness. And I'm not forgiving you. And it hit me like that big rock in the head and knocked me over. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? I just can't let it go. And he says, just forgive. So the first step to forgiveness is just make a decision. And I said, God, I said it out loud. You need to say it out loud. Maybe not today, not here, but when you go in your car, when you go into your closet, talk to God about that pain. Tell him what pain they caused you and say, God, I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive that ex-husband. I choose to forgive my mother who was never loving and attentive and caring and encouraging. I choose to forgive. Maybe you've been sexually abused. I choose to forgive. Now, you're not excusing what they've done. You're not diminishing what they've done. You're not saying it's not a big deal. It was a big deal. They did hurt you. But what you're saying is, I'm not going to carry that on me. I'm going to allow God to deal with that person. And I know that God is the best judge. God is all about justice. Because His name is on the line. Maybe it was a boyfriend who used you and abused you. And dropped you. And you thought, you know, you're gonna spend the rest of your life with him. And you gave her or him everything. And then they dropped you and went to somebody else. Maybe that's, you need to forgive. Don't live another day in unforgiveness. Don't live another moment in unforgiveness. Forgiving is hard. Some of you have such deep issues that you need to talk to somebody. You need to talk to Pastor Tanya. You need to talk to me or other elders here in the church. Maybe you need to just get it out of you. But you can't live with it any longer. Forgiving is choosing to obey Christ, knowing that He knows something about forgiveness. He's an expert on forgiveness. He forgives us, right? And doesn't matter how much, we say we won't do it and we go ahead and do it again. And He keeps forgiving us. He's forgiving God. He knows about forgiveness. So when He says to forgive, He knows what He's talking about. Because if you don't forgive, you will be tormented by demons. Listen to me, because if you don't forgive, you will be tormented by demons. Bible says that. Some of you are like, what demons? Oh no. This is getting spooky here. When you don't forgive, what happens in your mind? You start hearing the voices, right? You start talking to yourself. And sometimes you catch yourself. Oh, I hope nobody heard me. What he's done to me. I meant son of a Baptist. But if you're Baptist, I'm Baptist too. I've been baptized. Hallelujah. 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 God wants you to be free. He's forgiven you. He wants you to forgive.